Weeks we've been studying and focusing on the importance of the ministry of the Apostle Paul as it's found in the Word of God. And the reason we've been doing that is because when you're Pauline, when you understand the ministry that Christ gave to Paul and the way that he communicates the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, you get an entirely different view, an entirely different picture of the Lord Jesus Christ and of his value and of the ministry that God has through him than you do without Paul. If you leave Paul out of your Bible, your view of the Lord Jesus Christ becomes very limited and very restricted. With Paul and a Pauline perspective about what the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished when he was in the earth, then you begin to have a broader, a fuller view of what it is Christ did. You'll remember the angel told Joseph in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, with regard to the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, "You shall call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins." The Bible says in John 1 that he came unto his own, and his own received him not. His people, who he came to save from their sins, was the nation Israel. He came unto his own, that is, the nation Israel, and they, Israel, received him not. When you have Christ as he's presented in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you have a limited Redeemer with a limited message simply for the nation Israel. You come to the Apostle Paul, you find quite a different situation. In Paul's ministry, you find that it's in a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, he says, of whom I am chief. Now, it's important to understand this Pauline perspective, and I want you to see the contrast between the way the Lord Jesus Christ is presented in his earthly ministry. If we let, for example, this represent the beginning of his ministry to the conclusion of his ministry, let this time period represent the time that's covered in the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. At the end of that, of all of those books, Jesus Christ dies at Calvary's cross, and he's resurrected, and he ascends into heaven. The Holy Spirit comes back in the day of, in the book of Acts on the day of Pentecost, and you see the ministry go out to the nation Israel. Then you see the fall of Israel take place. Jesus Christ from heaven's glory reaches down and saves a guy by the name of Saul of Tarsus, makes him Paul the Apostle, and you have the dispensation of the grace of God in which we live today. This dispensation of grace covers the books of Romans through Philemon. In other words, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you have the earthly ministry of our Lord to the nation Israel. In the book of Acts, you have an offer of repentance given to the nation of Israel for having crucified their Messiah. They're told to repent, change their mind about the Lord Jesus Christ and become identified together with their Messiah through water baptism, identify themselves together as being that kingdom of priests and holy nation that God had chosen to be. They're to flee from the wrath to come out over here. He'd come back and redeem them and set them up in their kingdom. They continue to refuse to do that, and the point comes where God sets them aside, concludes them all in unbelief, sets them aside, and introduces a new program. The Lord Jesus Christ up here from heaven's glory reaches, saves Saul of Tarsus, makes him Paul the Apostle, and reveals to Paul a mystery, a secret purpose and program. This program back here is called prophecy. This is something that God has made known, preached about, and talked about since the world began. Peter in Acts chapter 3 says that all the prophets that have spoken have foretold of these days. The prophets talked about it. He said that this is that which is spoken since the foundation of the world. Paul says about the mystery that it was kept secret since the world began. It's two different programs. This ministry back here is headed up by the man Peter. He's the head of the apostles. Paul is the apostle in here. Now, there's something you want to see about the ministry that Jesus Christ has in these two contrasting views. If all you follow is this, you're going to have a different view about Christ than if you follow the ministry, the advanced revelation given through the Apostle Paul. In Galatians chapter number 2, verse number 7, Paul says, "But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me. Paul is given the gospel of the uncircumcision, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. Notice, there is a gospel of the circumcision. That is a gospel that pertains to the nation Israel and has Israel's hope as its basis. Then there is the gospel of the uncircumcision. Folks, if words in a Bible mean anything, the gospel of the circumcision is different from the gospel of the uncircumcision, because circumcision and uncircumcision are different. I want you to see that that's exactly what the situation is. There are literally two different good news. There are two different gospel messages. There are two different ways in which the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ is presented, because there are two programs in operation here. Go back with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter number 4. Matthew 4. Maybe we begin in Matthew chapter 3. In those days came John the Baptist, and that'll be right back here. John the Baptist is the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven," right over here, "is at hand." And he prepares the way of the Lord. And he tells them down in verse number 5, "Then went out to him Jerusalem and Judea and all the regions round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins." In other words, he comes and he begins to call a believing remnant out of the nation Israel. And they're identified together through water baptism. Verse 7, he says, "But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, 'O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come?'" I remind you, there's a time past, there's a but now, and then there are the ages to come. And they understood about that wrath that was to come prior to the kingdom that was to come. And John preaches, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand," and he tells them to flee from the wrath to come. And the way they flee from it is being identified together as the believers in Israel, and the mark of their identification together was the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Now in John chapter 4, Matthew chapter 4, verse number 7, verse number 17, the Bible says, "From that time Jesus began to preach and say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" In other words, John is put into prison. And then the Lord Jesus Christ comes on the scene and he preaches exactly the same thing John the Baptist began to preach to the nation Israel. Now notice Matthew 4:23. "Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people." If you've ever wondered why he healed the sick, cleansed the leper, raised the dead, and so on and so forth, and he healed all manner of sickness and disease among the people, if you've ever wondered why he did that in his earthly ministry, it's because he was preaching the good news of the kingdom being at hand. In other words, he came with a foretaste of those kingdom blessings. In that kingdom over there, he says that they'll no more say, "I'm sick," for they'll all be well. The inhabitants of that kingdom won't be sick, for the Lord will heal them. And that's going to be a wonderful day. He comes with a foretaste, the credentials that demonstrate the validity of this gospel of the kingdom that he's preaching. And of course, the kingdom is the kingdom that belongs to the nation Israel. Hence, it's called the gospel of the circumcision. Now, there's something I want you to see about that. Come with me to Matthew chapter 16. Because the apostle Peter is preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Peter has the gospel of the kingdom committed to his trust, and he's preaching the gospel of the kingdom in Matthew 4 or 5. He's commissioned in Matthew 10 to go out and preach. Matthew chapter 10, verse number 5 says, "These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, 'Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and in any city of the Samaritans enter you not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the leper, freely you've received, freely give.'" What John preached, our Lord preached. And what our Lord preached, he trained the 12 apostles and sent them forth to preach that same message. Come with me to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, verse number 15. Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he said unto them, "But whom say ye I am, that I am?" And Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. In other words, Peter is made, he's given the keys, he's given the authority among these apostles. Because Jesus Christ gives to him a revelation. The Father gave him a revelation. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, well, I say also unto thee, I'm going to say something to you too. The Father revealed to you that I'm the Messiah, and I'm going to tell you that on that fact of who I am, I'm the Son of the living God, that I'm going to build my church. Now you think about that. If the foundation of that church is the fact that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the King of Israel, I'm going to build my church. What church is that? Is that the church, the body of Christ? Why, no, that's the Messiah, the Messianic, the kingdom church. And just so you don't miss that, he says, and I'm going to give unto thee the keys to the body of Christ. No, you know that in what he said. Verse 19, I'll give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Peter was given authority in the kingdom program. Paul is given authority in the mystery program, in the body program, in the dispensation of grace. Two different. The foundation of this, the foundation of this is Christ. But it's two different views of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is so clear in what comes up next. Verse number 21, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples, I must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and raised again the third day. Notice, after Peter is told about Jesus being the Messiah and that being the foundation of that kingdom church, they've already ministered from Acts 10 through Acts 16. In Acts 16, from that time forth, began Jesus to tell them he's going to go up to Jerusalem and die. Well, I know something. I know that if he began to tell them in Acts 16 that he was going to die, they didn't know about it prior to that. If that's only the time he began to tell them. You see, this business about Christ going around telling everybody he's come to die for the sins of the world won't get it, because that isn't what the verses say. And Peter didn't understand that he came to die for his sins, because look at verse number 22. He tells him he's going to be killed and raised again the third day. Verse 22, then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. Now you know something, folks? The apostle Peter says, I'm not going to. If Peter didn't know, I mean, folks, if Peter knew about the cross, why did he say, Lord, it isn't going to happen? Peter didn't know about the cross. He only began to learn about it. When he did, he said, No, that isn't what we've been talking about. Now listen, think about that. If Peter had been preaching the gospel of the kingdom and didn't know that the cross was even going to happen, and when he heard about it, rebelled about it, against it, I know something. Peter was not preaching a blood atonement through faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ at Calvary. If Peter didn't know about the cross, he couldn't be preaching a blood redemption. Yet he is preaching the good news of the coming kingdom. Now, you know what Paul said the gospel that he preached was? Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 3. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. Christ gave it to him. How that Christ died for our sins, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scripture. You know what the gospel of the grace of God Paul preached was? That Jesus Christ died at Calvary to pay for your sins, to die as a sacrifice and a ransom, and in him we have redemption through his blood. The good news Paul preached was the good news of salvation through the finished work of Jesus Christ at Calvary. Folks, Peter back here didn't even know about Calvary, but he was preaching a gospel message. Paul says over here, the gospel is that Jesus Christ died for your sins. I mean, a 6-year-old could see those two messages aren't the same. There's no way they can be the same. There's no way anybody can mistake them as being the same unless they want to. There's no blood, no cross, no blood atonement back here in Peter's message in the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. That isn't the focus. The focus is on a coming kingdom. And in Paul's ministry, in Paul's message, not only is there a cross as an event, it's the foundation of everything. You say, but what about Peter after he learned about the cross? After Christ began to... Remember, he preached the gospel of the kingdom and didn't even know about... You can preach the gospel of the kingdom and not know about the cross, because the gospel of the kingdom had to do with forming a believing remnant in the nation Israel to be identified together as part of the governmental structure of that kingdom. But they still needed redemption. Come with me to Matthew 26. They still needed a redeemer. They still needed to be saved from their sins in order to be who God had desired for them to be. So our Lord begins to tell them about the fact He's going to Calvary. And if you get Matthew 26 in one hand and Isaiah 53. In Isaiah 53, if you turn to the Old Testament and wanted to find a passage that would tell you about Calvary and about Christ dying for people's sins, you'd think of Isaiah 53. It's the one passage to go to. And we rejoice in it. But I want you to notice carefully what it says. Matthew 26, verse number 26, the night Jesus is going to, before He dies, He institutes the communion, the Lord's Supper. And He said, as they were eating, Matthew 26, 26, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to His disciples and said, take, eat, this is My body. And He took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. For this is My blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Jesus Christ says, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to shed some blood, and it's going to be for many. For many. Get that. It's going to be for many. Come back with me to Isaiah chapter 53. Let's see who the many are. Isaiah 53, verse number 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone into his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Great passage of Scripture. Somebody said one time, said, you go in at the first all we like sheep have gone astray, and you can come out at the last all. He's laid on him the iniquity of us all. But you know, that isn't exactly what Isaiah was saying. Because you know who the all there are? The all in that passage in Isaiah 53 is all of those circumcised people. Not the uncircumcised. And you know how you know that? Verse number 8. Isaiah 53, 8. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? He was cut off from the land of the living for the transgression of My people. Was he stricken? You know who My people are? That's the nation Israel, brother. That's who Isaiah's people are. They're Israel. You know when Jesus Christ died at Calvary, you know what He told Peter? He said, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to lay down My life as a ransom for the nation Israel, and I'm going to shed some blood to save Israel so they could be saved from that wrath into that kingdom and be the kingdom of priests. I came to save My people from their sins. You know what that is? That's the message that Peter preached. When Peter began to preach about the blood, when he began to understand about the blood, it was limited to the nation Israel. Christ died in His message in order for Israel to receive her atonement. Now that's in direct contrast to what Paul preached about it. 1 Timothy chapter number 2. 1 Timothy chapter number 2. Let's see why Paul said he was made an apostle. Peter's apostleship focuses on the nation Israel. It focuses on Israel getting her kingdom blessing. It focuses on Christ redeeming Israel, dying for Israel, so Israel could get God's blessing and salvation and receive their long promised kingdom and blessing. When you come to Paul over here, the focus is different. Paul doesn't just preach it. He doesn't preach at all about it. He says God set Israel aside. He's interrupted that program. That isn't what he's doing now. He's interrupted that. He'll do it one day, but in the interval, he's set Israel aside and he's doing something else. He's forming a spiritual body of believers called the church, the body of Christ. And this group of people is made up of Jews and Gentiles placed together in one spiritual body. You trust Jesus Christ. Christ as your Savior, what He did for you at Calvary, and God the Holy Ghost puts you into living union with His Son, His death becomes your death, His burial becomes your burial, His resurrection becomes your resurrection, His session at the Father's right hand becomes your session. You are seated together in heavenly places in Him. You're complete in Him. You're blessed with all spiritual blessings in Him. God puts you in His Son, and in His Son gives you everything you ever had for Him, makes you an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ, makes you complete in Him, in a spiritual body that He's going to use in the ages to come in the heavenly places. You see, we're seated together in heavenly places. That is, we are participants in the heavenly government of Jesus Christ. We are seated with Him, and we are participating in the authority of Jesus Christ in the heavenly places today. Different body of people. Whole different program in here. Limited to Israel back here. Over here, it isn't limited to anybody. Look at what Paul says. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 4, speaking about God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. All men, everybody without distinction, everybody without exception. Not just all these people, but everybody. For there is one man, one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for what? For all. Get that? In here, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, earthly minister of Christ to the nation Israel. He died, and He said He gave Himself a ransom for many. Acts 20:28. He said, "This is My blood, which is shed for the remission of shed for many for the remission of sins." Isaiah says, "For the transgression of My people is He stricken." He came to call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sin. It's for Israel. It's limited. Get over here to Paul, and he says, hey, you know, there's more to it than just what God had for Israel. God had a whole wider purpose over here. He just kept it secret, but now it's revealed. He gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified, verse 6, in due time, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. In other words, the due time testimony is now out. Jesus Christ in due time saves Paul and sends him out with this due time testimony of all that he purposed to accomplish through the finished work of Jesus Christ. And the whole realm of it is now made known. He came into the world not simply to save Israel, but to save everybody. You see the difference there? If you go back over here and into this ministry, you're going to get a very limited view of what Jesus Christ came to do and what His life and ministry and His death at Calvary and His resurrection were all about. Peter says that He died. He says He died for Israel. Peter says He was raised to sit on David's throne, Acts 2:30. Paul said He died. We now know that He didn't just die for Israel, that God had something more in mind, not just Israel, but for all men. I got Acts chapter 3 in one hand and Romans chapter 5. Romans 5 and Acts 3. One more thing. I want you to see the contrast. I want you to see how being Pauline opens up the glories of what God has done for us in Christ as it could never be opened up any other way. To fail to rightly divide the word of truth is to limit our redemption, is to limit our Redeemer, is to take the Lord Jesus Christ and have a very limited view of Him. You leave Paul out and you're gonna have a limited Savior with a limited Redeemer. Acts chapter 3, verse 19, verse 18. He says, but those things which God before showed by the mouth of all His prophets that Christ should suffer, He has so fulfilled. Did everything prophets had said would do about dying. Repent you therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and He shall send Jesus, whom the heavens must receive, until the restitution of all things which is spoken by the mouth of all His holy prophets since the world began. That's prophecy, something God has spoken since the world began. Peter says, repent, Christ died over here, you repent, that your sins may be blotted out. When are they going to be blotted out? When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. You know when He says, tells these people, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. He says in Acts 3:19, they're going to get their sins remitted right over there. You know what Israel has to do? That's their great day of atonement. And they're looking forward to going through that wrath, being preserved through that wrath, and having their sins blotted out, the nation's sins blotted out, and the forgiveness of that nation under the new covenant when Jesus Christ comes back. In contrast to that, Romans 5:11, Paul says, "And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement." You know what the difference between that is? The difference between that is the fact that you can now have a righteous standing before Almighty God through the finished work of Jesus Christ, where those people had to wait till He comes back to get it to them. Future application. You want your sins forgiven today? Listen, don't let somebody tell you you got to wait till you die and go to heaven to be with the Lord. You know, save us in heaven at last. Don't let somebody say, well, it's a sin of presumption. You can't really know. You know what that is? That's following Peter back here. God's interrupted that program. God's changed it. The gospel is the gospel presented through Paul, what Paul calls my gospel. And that gospel says that Jesus Christ died for your sins. And if you'll trust Him right this moment, God Almighty, that instant will save your soul, justify you, declare you righteous, forgive your sins, and put you in His Son, and make you complete in Jesus Christ, and in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. You don't need preachers, you don't need priests, you don't need ordinances, you don't need ceremonial correctness. All you need is simple faith in what God did for you at Calvary. Never been a day like today before. All you need to come to God today is come to Him through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and trust Him and Him alone. Do that today, would you? Until next time, Maranatha.
Thank you, Brother Jordan, for that message from the Word of God. Friends, we have a cassette tape that we would like you to have to go along with today's study. The tape is entitled, A Panoramic View of the Program of God. It's yours free of charge. It's our way of saying thanks for listening. We'll be happy to see that you receive your free copy if you simply write us here at The Message of Grace. The address should be on your screen. That's The Message of Grace, P.O. Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. If you prefer, you can also call us during normal business hours at area code 708-529-0520. Request the tape, A Panoramic View of the Program of God. The Message of Grace is a ministry of Grace School of the Bible, and we're glad you've been with us today. We trust our study together has been a help to you. And friend, if you are still not sure of salvation, that your sins are forgiven, and that you have eternal life as a present possession, let us know, and we'll be happy to send you some gospel literature that will show you the way. That address again is The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. Thanks for being with us today, and God's best until we meet next time for another Message of Grace.